welcome to our service for Sunday, the 10th of January, 2021. My name is Max Cross. I'm the church leader, the rector for Bedhampton Parish here in Hampshire. And it's my joy this week to welcome you to our online service. Of course, we're online, all of us at this point, not just because we choose to be online, but actually because we are not holding our physical services right now. Because in England, certainly, we are in a lockdown situation where we are supposed to not leave our homes if we can avoid it. You will be glad to hear, however, that we have had clarification on whether we are allowed to leave our churches open for prayer. And we can confirm now that we are. So from this Monday, the 11th of January, our church in Bedhampton, one of our churches in Bedhampton, St. Thomas's on Bidbury Lane, will be open between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. for private prayer. Now, it's very important that you only go if you are not at risk, that you wear a mask and you follow all the other guidance which is available on a sheet as you enter the building. We have to trust in God, and God would have us be sensible with our own health and others' well-being. So that is there as an option for you during the week. If you are taking your daily walk or your exercise, you can stop off briefly in St. Thomas's and you can say a prayer and have a little quiet time just with you and God. Do make the most of that, and do, as I say, be very careful. We will do our best to make sure the place is safe for you, and it's your responsibility to make sure that you adhere to the guidance in there, so that for both for your own well-being and everyone's well-being. Other than that, of course, we will continue to meet online. We will meet online on a Sunday morning with this Sunday worship service, which is available from early hours of the morning on Sunday for you to enjoy and to watch at any other time from then. A moment for us to gather and to continue to seek God's kingdom here in Bedhampton or wherever you live. In addition to that as well, on a Wednesday morning at 10 a.m, I will take us through a communion service. I will be in St. Thomas's. I will be alone, so I ask that you don't come to that service. And I will take us through the words that we know and love in our communion service as we remember Jesus and what he did on the cross. That's available live at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday morning and thereafter as well on our website. All of this is available on bedhampton.tv. That's where we put all our videos. And you can go to bedhampton.tv and see not only the currently live video, but all the previous ones as well. We will make the best of the situation to continue worshipping our God. And of course, our main website, bedhampton.church, is there all the time. And indeed, the videos are up there as well. And that is a place to keep kept informed of what's going on as the situations change. And of course, that same information will be in our news sheet, which is available to collect from St. Thomas's as you walk past on your daily walk. Or you can ring me in the office and leave a message and I will get back to you. But alternatively, why don't you, if you're not already, sign up to get the weekly sheet, by email, and you will be kept fully informed of what's going on. But generally, the format moving forward now, for the time being at least, and if I'm honest, I would expect for a little while to come, will be Sunday morning online, Wednesday morning and available afterwards a Holy Communion. And of course, you may well be meeting in your home groups online as well, your life groups, as we move forward. If you're not part of a small group of people who seek Jesus together, then can I really encourage you this year of all years? This is the time to send me an email, to give me a phone call and say, Max, I want to be part of a small group that learn about Jesus together. This is vital, in my opinion, right now. So get in touch with me if you're not part of that. And that is what it says in the sheet as well. So you can read the sheet and find out about that. The only other thing I'd love to draw to your attention is our Wednesday morning prayer at 8 a.m. online. We meet every week at 8 a.m. That's broadcast on Facebook and YouTube and the website to pray for God's kingdom to come. To pray for God's kingdom to come in Bedhampton, where we live, or where you live as well. Because we want to see Jesus known by many, many people. We want to see Jesus known by the young people in our parish, by the older people in our parish. We want to see Jesus known by those who are wondering where the heck they should be going in all this turmoil in the world. That is our ultimate goal, to love God and to share the love of God and his friendship with those around us. That is what we say. Well, a lot to be said this morning, but like I say, gather those details from our news sheet. And if you want a copy of the news sheet, just send the office an email and we will get to that. But for now, we come to the real reason that we gather, whether we gather physically or gather online. This is our reason. We gather to worship our God, a God who came looking for you and I, a God who seeks to have relationship with you and I. So before we begin in earnest, let's take a moment just to put aside the areas of our lives where we're just worried about right now. They'll be there when we come back. And just come before our God. A moment of silence just to gather our thoughts together. And the words that you may wish to join in will appear on the screen. God is spirit. Let us worship him in spirit and truth. The Lord is with us. Let us praise his name together. And one of the amazing things about our God is he's with us whatever state we're in, wherever we are. And we can always come before him, whether we're in the church building or at home, and receive his forgiveness. Now, earlier on, before I began to record this service, I took a moment of my own just to make sure I was right with God. And I thought it'd be helpful for all of us to do that together. As we're in a position where we are not meeting as a corporate body to worship God and to seek his forgiveness, you might ask, how can I seek God's forgiveness? Well, of course, we can do that in the simplest of ways. We can simply sit down and turn to our Father God, say sorry for the mistakes and sins we have made, and know that we are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. Other times it's helpful to take a moment in your day just to reflect at more length. And I've grabbed my cup of tea here, and I've grabbed a couple of tea lights from the cupboard in the kitchen and a box of matches. And I'm just about to record this week's service. But before I do, I want to make sure that I am right with God. And you can do the same as well. So I'm going to take a moment to read to myself from the Bible, knowing that normally this would just be me and God. If you were not here, it would simply be me and God. As I remind myself of what Jesus did, that we are forgiven when we turn to God, when we turn away from our sins. I would turn to a passage like 1 John 1, where we read, starting at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out that truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Just a reminder that it's good to come before God, and I would read something like that for myself if I was on my own, just to remind me. I might pause and just reflect that God is here in his spirit with me. Just having a cup of tea with him or whatever it is for you. And then as I come before God, I would reflect quietly in my own mind over the last few weeks where I've not lived a life that I know Jesus would want me to live. So let's take a moment to do that. And I've simply got three tea lights here. And I might reflect where in my life that I have actually not done the things that Jesus would have me do, not physically done the things that he would have me do. And whether perhaps I have left undone, as it were, the things he would have me do. And I'd reflect on that. And in my mind, I often find that I picture me handing that package into the arms of Jesus. And I might light a candle. Candles aren't always my big thing in life, but sometimes it's helpful to take an action. And as we hand over the things that we have left undone, as it were, where we have not done the things that Jesus would have us do. And I would do a pause for a moment and reflect as God forgives me. So reflected on the things that we have left undone, I now would perhaps reflect on the things that I've actually done that I shouldn't have done. The areas in my life where I've taken action that if Jesus was truly standing physically beside me, I wouldn't have done. And so I reflect on those. And once again, in my mind, for me, I find it helpful to hand those over to Jesus and receive his forgiveness. And then we turn to our minds and the things that go through our minds. They may even be the things only known by ourselves and God. The things that go through our minds, even if we didn't take action on them, we know we still need to seek forgiveness for those when they are not in the will of God. And so I bring those forward, and again I'd like to hand those to Jesus, knowing that he died on the cross for me and for you. And I take some time to receive his forgiveness for the things that I have thought that are not of God. And having received the forgiveness from God, the key part is that we now move on, isn't it? And so I'm turning to 2 Corinthians here. And I read to myself from chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 16. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. The fact that we are new creations now because of what Jesus did on the cross is something that is often hard for us to understand. But we can truly turn to him in a simple way, seek his forgiveness, and receive that fully in our life. So just one of many ways that we can seek God's forgiveness and know that we are truly forgiven We are new creations, as that reading said, which naturally, of course, leads us into singing only one song. I am a new creation. New creations, no more in condemnation. We just got to grab hold of that now and move forward. And as we do move forward, we're going to hear our readings now. Firstly, Catherine is going to read from 2 Samuel for us, from the old part of the Bible, the Old Testament. And then I'll come back and read part of the Gospel of Matthew as we enter into, again, the Gospel of Matthew. We, as a church, have been going through very slowly the Gospel of Matthew occasionally just to read the whole book and study it together. If you've missed any of the past looks at Matthew, they're all up on the website. You can go and look at those. They have their own section up there. But this week we get to Matthew 9, and we'll come to that in a moment after we hear from Catherine and from 2 Samuel.
The reading is taken from the second book of Samuel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 5 and 14 to 17. David and Bathsheba. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, "Put Uriah in the front line, where the fighting is the fiercest. Then withdraw from him, so that he will be struck down and die." So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Catherine. And now, written in the 9th chapter, starting at verse 9, hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And so today we finally get to meet the author of this biography that we've been following called Matthew, a biography of Jesus written by someone called Matthew. Matthew is working, he is a tax collector, and he is collecting taxes for the Romans. And then Jesus wanders up to him and says, "Follow me." And Matthew's whole world is turned upside down. I wonder how you view Matthew. Who is this man that we have been studying? Who is this man that Jesus spoke to? The world, of course, those out around Matthew would have seen him as a tax collector. And tax collectors, as you may well know, were hated. They were really disliked because most of them were notoriously unjust, adding a slice to the taxes for their own benefit. In the minds of most, or if not many, Jewish men and women, tax collectors were regarded as criminals. "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners," we read, as they bundle tax collectors and criminals together. And Matthew was not only a tax collector, but he was a Jewish tax collector. He had abandoned his people to collect for the Romans, to collect taxes for them, just for a quick buck. Now, even if you look around now at art and images of Matthew, you will often see him pictured with books or bundles of money beside him. He is not remembered for writing down the story of Jesus so that we would have it now. He's not even remembered for being a great preacher or an evangelist that he was. No, 2,000 years later, Matthew is still remembered for being a tax collector. A tax collector who was hated. Now, many of my family still remember me as that young 10-year-old boy who was caught jumping out of his window, claiming to be practicing in case there was a fire. It's one of those stories that comes up whenever we have a family gathering. It's so difficult, isn't it, to shrug off our past. Here I am now, 40-odd years later, and they still remember that story of me, just as Matthew was remembered. Difficult for others to forget of our past. Certainly difficult for others to forget of where we have come from, just like we see with Matthew. And then, of course, as we look at what other people think of Matthew and perhaps think of us, I wonder as well what Matthew thought of himself. Did he buy into this idea that he was simply a corrupt tax collector, a sinner? Or perhaps he had a different idea. Perhaps as Matthew grew as a boy, he looked to the heroes of his faith, King David maybe, And maybe as a young boy, he looked towards King David and thought, maybe I could be like King David. But of course, as he grew into an adult, he began realizing that actually that was harder than it looked. And maybe he gave up and went about his own way. Maybe he went about the way of the world, the Romans around him. And he finds himself in this situation, hated by his own people around him and struggling to actually understand the purpose of his life. And then one day he sees Jesus, the rabbi, walking up towards him. Maybe his eyes dropped. Maybe his thoughts were, oh, what's going to happen here? Perhaps there was a glimmer of hope. And then Jesus walks up to him and says, come, follow me. I wonder how that made Matthew feel. I don't know about you, but Sundays I can look into the mirror and I can think that, yes, I could picture Jesus walking up to me and saying to me, come, follow me. I love you. Of course, other days I look in the mirror and I remember the teenage boy that got into a bit of a tussle with the police. And I remember the other areas of my life which I'm not proud of. And I think, oh, Jesus couldn't possibly use me. He couldn't possibly love me. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. Those are the words that go through our minds sometimes, aren't they? How about you? I wonder how you see yourself. How do others see you? And how does that impact you? How do you think Jesus sees you? Of course, it doesn't really matter, actually, how the world sees us. It doesn't really matter how we see ourselves, although those things do impact us. What really matters and what we discover in this story is how Jesus sees us. Those who are well, we hear him say, have no need of a doctor, but those who are sick do. Jesus is saying, if you are so holy that you don't need me, crack on, give it a go. But Matthew, he needs me. Now, okay, I paraphrase quite heavily there, but that is the gist of it, isn't it? When Jesus looked at Matthew, he saw someone who had a past. He saw someone who made mistakes, not only in his past, but even today. But he saw someone who had potential. He saw someone that he had come to this earth to rescue. He saw someone who he would hang on the cross for. You see, Jesus realizes that falling short is the human norm. To sin means to fall short. It's an archery term, to fall short of the target. And of course, our target in life is to have a heart that is the same as God's. And the Jewish teachers forgot that the man himself, King David, who was claimed to have a heart after God, even he made mistakes, serious mistakes. Even he fell short of the target. King David, if you remember from our reading, sent a man into battle, into the heart of battle, sent a man to die. Why? For the good of the country? No, because he wanted to have that man's wife for himself. King David fell short of the heart of God. Now that is sin. That is a past. And yet God loved him and loves him today. I wonder what is stopping us accepting that we are truly loved by Jesus. What have we fallen short of in our life? What would Jesus forgive for us? Why do we think Jesus might not call us when he really would? Because whatever it is, it's a lie, isn't it? God loves King David despite his mess when he turns away from that sin. God loves Matthew despite his mess when he turns away from that sin. God loves me, God loves you despite our mess when we turn away from our sin. Because of what Jesus did, we can turn to God. God so loved you that he gave his only son for you, so that when you believe, you wouldn't perish but have eternal life. That's what we read, or that's me paraphrasing slightly what we read in the Bible. And that eternal life, by the way, doesn't start in some future heaven. Just like Matthew, it starts for us, it starts now. And it doesn't matter what the world believes we are or not, it starts for us today. It doesn't matter what you believe or not. If you turn to Jesus, it starts for you today. When Jesus calls you from what you are, you change. You become his beloved child. You become the gift of God. Just like Matthew, you become an apprentice to him. 2 Corinthians puts it like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Maybe those are words that we should put somewhere prominent in our lives. Maybe on our bedroom mirror. Maybe on our bathroom mirror. Maybe we should keep those words in our wallet. We are new creations. The old has gone. The new is here. When we turn to Jesus. Because today is the day that we can turn to Jesus. Today is the day that Jesus says, come, follow me. As we reflect on the truth of Jesus saying to us, come, follow me, whether that's news to us for the first time today, or whether we've heard those words many times, but perhaps not acted on them. Let's take a moment to listen to one of the most famous hymns of all time and to accept the truth in that as we reflect. Amazing Grace.
Sweet the sound.
grace. Whatever form I hear that song in, it just says it all for me. Our God is so gracious that he would come for us. So hold that in your mind as well as we turn to our prayers, turn to our Father in prayer. And Rosalind leads us in those prayers.
Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you that you have not left us alone. You are Emmanuel, always with us. Thank you that we can always come before you. Thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, and that you love and care for us. Thank you for the vaccines against COVID. Thank you for the scientists who have worked hard to provide a weapon against the virus. We pray for sensible and quick distributing of the vaccines. We pray, Father, that you would curb the spread of this illness. Thank you for the NHS. Please protect those who are working for the NHS. Grant them wisdom and strength as they care for the sick. We pray that there would be enough staff and beds for all those in need. Thank you for our schools and all who work in them. We pray that online learning would be a success. Help teachers as they serve their pupils. Please protect the vulnerable and those struggling because they feel unsupported. We pray for local businesses which have had to close, for those who are furloughed, or for those who have lost income. Please help them, dear Lord. We pray for a spirit of generosity so that their needs are met. Thank you for food banks and other ways in which people are able to help. We pray for our government. Please grant them wisdom and compassion as they serve their country. Help them to use resources wisely. We pray for them as they sort out everything to do with Brexit. We pray for a building up of communities, that people will be cared for and look out for each other. We pray for all those struggling with their health, physically, mentally, or emotionally. Please bring your healing, dear Father, and comfort those who are mourning. Thanks be to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which you have given us, for all the pains and insults which you have borne for us. Most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen.
Thank you, Rosalind, for that. And as we come to the end of our time together online now, don't forget, this coming Wednesday and every Wednesday, there will be a Holy Communion service for you to watch and join in with online. Don't forget as well, Wednesday at 8 a.m. we join together in prayer. Whether you are able to join us online or whether you are praying in your home on your own for us, just let's all turn to God and pray for his kingdom to come in Midhampton. I'll be here next week as well on Sunday as we share together in worship once again. And let me say, if there's anything that we can do as a church body to help you, do get in touch. We will do all we can in these times of trouble to see God's kingdom come in your life as well as ours. And we just want to help where we can. But as we finish together, let's take a moment. We're going to use some words we call the grace. Let's take a moment to bring together in our minds those that perhaps that we love in our family who we can't see right now. Perhaps bring together those that you would normally worship with on a Sunday or during the week in your small group. Bring them to mind as we say these words that will come up on the screen together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen. May God go with you in his spirit.
And I will praise you, Lord.